I don't know what your police captain told you about me, but I'm a different breed of
podcast.
I'm from the streets, and I'm the last
podcast.
Hello, listeners, and welcome back to the last podcast. Last time we had with us Ku Ejinti, and this time we have with us...
Bryce Levi Perkins.
Bryce, what was the last song you worked on?
That would have been, I want to say it was Without, a song called Without Knowing, which is the last track on the collection of songs I just released.
And what does that mean to you?
It means a lot. The song is about, music was written slightly before the pandemic, and then the lyrics were written during the pandemic, and kind of simple, but it was based on this idea that I got because everyone was, it just seemed like death was everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you remember? And so I just was like, I was scared to death, right? And scared for all the people that were going through it. And had the realization that, you know, we're all going to die without knowing why we were even alive. You know what I mean? Like, that idea, when you really think about it, because you can search and search and search and gain and gain and gain as much as you can, but you will never truly understand while you're here why you were here. You know what I mean?
We'll get more into that
later. Yeah, right.
I do want to discuss that.
And so that song has a lot of meaning behind it to me, actually. Yeah, very heavy, and it's also just really fun. And my buddy JT drummed on it, and he did a spectacular job. And so yeah, very probably one of the most meaningful things I've ever recorded or worked on.
Oh wow,
for myself anyway.
So good closure then.
Yeah, for sure.
What are your opinions on lyrics versus instrumentals?
Oh, I appreciate both of them. I started with like a deep appreciation for the music, like mostly, and like I would sort of lyrics were kind of an afterthought, and the older I get, the more appreciation I have for lyrics and like how they can help shape an idea.
Mm-hmm.
Within the sound that you're producing and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, I have an equal appreciation for both now, I would say.
Yeah. My project, I don't put in lyrics just to like save time.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like when I was doing my ukulele project, mm-hmm. like 7 years ago or so, I don't remember, maybe 10 years now, cause it was probably before I started Drum Book. I was writing lyrics with all my work.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, a lot of it was very, like, depressing stuff. Or, like, grand scheme things, you know, like philosophy and everything. And mm-hmm. then, like, after a while, it's just like, wow, I don't really have much more to say. And then it's like, I want to write, like, all these cool songs where it's, like, from the perspective of, like, things that you don't really, like, think about, you know? But mm-hmm. then it's like, I'm using so much time thinking about lyrics rather than writing music.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's like, I want to be writing music. And for sure. That's why Huda Thunk is lyricless.
Yeah. Dude, I can totally see that. And like, I, with like next projects and moving forward, I've already been considering like doing things under a different moniker than even the Demons that are way more like beat and music mm-hmm. Oriented because like, I totally agree, man. Have it like the idea of like, okay, well, I'm gonna have to put lyrics on this eventually can be such a like a flow killer, you know?
Yeah,
when you're like trying to flow with the music and in the moment and everything, and then you're like, well, now I gotta put a melody over this, and what's that gonna be? And then, you know, just the fact that you have to stop and think about it, killing that mood of like, okay, well, actually, I'm just trying to get this music out. I totally get that. And you're so fucking prolific, dude. So it must be working because you're, like, insanely prolific.
Yeah. I'm currently in the longest break in 5 years right now.
Really?
The last album I put out was in November. And so I was putting out, like, at least one a month.
Right, for a long time. And they were, like, full-ass albums.
Yeah.
And they weren't like 30-second songs, although I'm sure you had some short ones in there, but...
Like, first, I want to say like 20 albums or so were nice, quick, simple, short songs, like about a minute, you know, two minutes.
Sure, sure, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, now they're like 5-minute songs and stuff.
Right.
Like full-fledged.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really cool. Do I get to ask you as well? All right, tight. Okay, what was the last book you read?
Book I read.
Wait, is that how it goes?
Yeah. What was the last book I read?
Yeah. What? Who went?
That would have to be, I believe, Improvise Now, by I can't remember his name now, but
Del Close.
Was it Del Close?
No.
No. It's
a newer one, right? It's a newer book.
Yeah. It's like Mark something, I think, or something like that. It was very, very eye opening. So.
Really?
Like, improv is just such a... I think improv is important to life, really.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it teaches us, like, A, how to communicate, how to be present, and, like, how to deal with just, like, again, being present and communicating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's such a philosophy that it's almost a cult in itself.
Really. Yeah, like, absolutely. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And so that book is just, like, it's so... eye-opening, not just in scene work and improv, but like just in general, in life in general.
Yeah,
the act of yes-anding can change your life.
Yeah,
it really can.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
I have seen so many people who just have come in to do improv, like it just start, you know, from nothing. They're like, "Oh, I thought it'd be fun," you know, blah blah blah, and it changes their personality.
Yeah.
Like it, you see them open up, like. I have seen the shyest people who come into improv and they like can't even get a word or two out to being like the belle of the ball. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
It's insane.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And it's cool how the yes and thing, when you like apply it to your own life, doesn't just ascribe to like what you would think of like bigger things like the Yes Man movie or whatever. Like
yeah.
Sure, you could apply it that way if you want, like saying yes activities and everything. But it goes deeper because you start subconsciously applying that yes and mentality to just your day-to-day reactions to the things that happen to you outside that you may not like, or like normally you would hate it and it would annoy you and everything, but when you change that perspective to this yes and, you know, aka sort of this positivity of just like, okay, I'll accept that and then respond accordingly rather than just shutting it off immediately and being like, no, 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 and trying to deny it. You know what I mean?
And that's why it is such a philosophy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
the
yeah.
philosophy behind it is, it's life-changing.
Right.
So anyone listening, I recommend you at least give it a try.
Likewise.
What was the last show you did?
Well, the last time I performed, I guess,
yeah.
would be, I did a open mic at Liberty Station right down the street on Washington there that Danny, my buddy Danny Guerrero, you know him? He went to the station too.
I might.
But he's like real big in stand-up right now. He was running that that mic and it was right down the street and I was like, fuck it, I haven't performed comedy in, you know, since the lockdown, so I'm just gonna go do it, and it was great.
Nice.
Yeah, it was fun. What was your last show?
Comedy Sports.
Yeah, that's right.
Cause last week.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Last Saturday, yeah.
Nice. How was that?
Super awesome. Like, I love being at Comedy Sports.
Yeah.
And, like, it's nice that, like, the crowds are consistent and everything, you know, sometimes we sell out shows, and since we came back from COVID, like, I thought it would kind of, like, die down a little bit,
but
it is still a place that people want to come and get away from it, you know?
Yeah,
like
dude.
It's a great escape, you know,
yeah.
to come and just laugh and, like, have a ball, you know, just seeing people make stuff up, and the format is so much fun, the people are so much fun.
I was going to say, do you feel the crowds are, like, way more receptive and stuff and, like open to, you know, enjoying the show and stuff rather than, like, pre-pandemic days where it was always, like... All right, it's going to depend on how the crowd's feeling. Do you think that it's, like, more, like, people are, like, what you were saying, because people are getting out, they're more receptive to just, like, any idea.
That's a really good
being
question.
Being fun or something. You know?
If I had to, like, hyperanalyze, I think that it kind of has changed. Like,
wow.
People are more, like,
wow.
coming out to enjoy themselves
mm-hmm.
rather than, like, yeah, before pre-pandemic, it was, like, a crowd could make or break the show.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Like, they would just be like, oh, this is another show.
Discerning, like, I'm going to decide if this is funny or not.
Yeah, exactly.
Make me laugh, jester.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Where now it's like, okay, I'm going to come and I am going to enjoy myself.
Right, right, right.
Also, it's BYOB, so that helps a lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Tight. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, we're also, like, this year really trying to amp things up at Comedy Sports.
Oh, okay.
And so, like, to really make it an experience when you come.
Yeah.
And oh, so everyone is really just, like, trying new things.
Like, and a lot more, like, crowd participation and stuff
or
like
crowd
that?
Work. We're still, with, since COVID, not doing a lot of crowd participation or people on stage.
Yeah.
We'll see when that comes back.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's at that building where Cassie and Connor do...
Yeah, where Crush City Comedy
City,
is
right now.
Yeah.
Very cool.
They're written out Studio A, where we used to have the Edo show, but it's nice that someone from the outside is hosting the Thursday shows
now. Yeah, for sure.
And they're killing it. They're... they've got really good acts. They're booking like full months in advance and stuff.
Grassroots too, man. Just going out there and doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's fucking awesome, man. I'm super like happy for them and proud of what
they're really
doing.
I really respect all the work that they do.
Totally, man.
And like even pre then.
Yeah, they've always been like that.
They have always been like that.
Yeah. Go-getters,
with
man.
Like Powder Keg Productions and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that was the last show I attended as an audience member was that one I saw you at. The Crush City Comedy Show.
A few weeks ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's your favorite actor?
It's got to be in the form of a...
Oh, shit.
Last.
Oh, fuck me. Yeah, that's right. Who's your last...
Who was the last actor that was your favorite?
Yeah, no, okay, how about this? what was the last acting performance you saw that made you think that it was something other than just a movie?
Oh, man. So this movie, I think it's called Possession, with the guy from Jurassic Park, Neil Grant, is that his name?
Neil Grant. Well, which Jurassic Park? Original Jurassic
Park? Yeah, the original Jurassic Park.
You talking about the main excavator guy?
Yeah.
I don't know his name, but I know who you're talking about.
The main character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's him and this female actress, and the whole movie, you're kind of like, what is happening, you know? But there's this one part where, like, the girl just, like, she's in the subway, and she just, like, has this breakdown where she's just, like, flailing and, like, you know, like she's possessed.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, seeing that come out from an actor, or you know, it was just, like, it moved me.
Oh,
because,
wow.
Like, you're just, like, this is insane. Like, what she's doing to her body and how she's acting and stuff, like... when you come out of that as an actor, like, you can tell that, like, they put 100... Like, I can't describe it. Like, you have to experience it for yourself. And when you saw the scene, you'd know what I was talking about.
Sure,
because
sure.
It's just, like, you come out like, oh, my gosh. And also, that movie was just that, like, it's a spectacle.
Really?
So, yeah.
Okay.
I would say give that a watch, too.
Okay.
Cause it's definitely a one where you're like, what is happening?
Yeah.
And then just a bunch of crazy things happen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then that scene right there, you're just like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Chef's
kiss.
Yeah, so...
I'll put that on the list, man.
I can't remember her name as the actress, but she kills it in that movie.
Man, I love that shit, because, like, watching movies is so... It's, like, such a... For me, is a like a... I feel like it's a big task, like, for me, to watch a movie, like... Because I'm always... I have such a cynical view on the movies as an art form, man. I'm like... I'm kind of an asshole about it. Like, I'm like... Like, dude, everything is fake, and you know you're going in knowing that everything is fake. So you're, like, even more discerning about, like, how are you going to take me out of that?
Yeah.
And make me think that what you're doing is like, a real thing, so that I can feel it and stuff.
You have a higher suspension of disbelief.
Yeah, and it's, like, sometimes I do, and sometimes I don't, but it's, like... I know that it's, like... I know that it's preventing myself from just getting enjoyment out of something sometimes. But when things like that happen, and you are watching a movie, or when I am watching a movie, and like, I come across a performance like that, where I don't even realize that it's taking me out of it, or putting me, sucking me into it while it's happening, until after it's happened, then you go, oh, shit, that was amazing. I love that shit. Like, when actors can do that, dude, I fucking love that shit.
What was the last movie you watched?
Ocean's 11.
Ocean's 11?
Just last night,
For the original remake.
Remake.
George Clooney and Brad Pitt.
Yeah,
classic.
It's classic. It was something else, man. I was stoned when I was watching it, and so it...
it enhances the experience.
Yeah, yeah, well, it made things, you know, funnier than they should have been, I guess, you know, mm-hmm. certain things. You know, because you can kind of, like, see through the veil a little bit more or whatever, yeah. you know what I mean? And so you're like...
You really pay attention to details.
Yeah, 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 and you're like, oh, man, that's George Clooney, dude. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And, like, man, George Clooney did that. Brad, what are you doing, Brad? Like, come on, man, what's your face doing, you know? Or whatever, like, you start, like, looking at it like that and shit. Yeah. It made it fun. It made it, it was cool, man. It's a cool, classic, heist.
I just went all through all those... A few months ago.
Are the other ones any good?
Yeah. Have you not seen 12 and 13?
No.
Wow.
No.
They're not bad. They're good sequels.
Yeah.
And then Ocean's... is it 9? With all the...
Oh, ladies? Yeah. The female cast.
Yeah, I watched that one as well. It's not bad.
Woman cast.
It's not bad. A lot of people hated it because of that. Because it's all
just like
women.
With the Ghostbusters thing.
But it's good. And yeah. It's kind of a sequel.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
From 13?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
It's George Clooney's sister.
Oh, in real life?
The character. No, the character.
Oh, oh, like, okay.
It's
okay.
His sister, is Sandra Bullock. Oh, and now she's got a heist going on.
Yeah, that she's going to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the original one is also fun with the Rat Pack.
Oh, is it the Rat Pack
yeah,
in the original
one?
Yeah,
it's the Rat Pack.
Oh, very cool.
That's what makes it
very
so
cool.
Special, I think.
Yeah.
It's like, it's all
I would have to watch that one, man. I bet I would really enjoy that.
It's all right.
I like old movies.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of them can be really good.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. What was the... Dude, what was the last, like, spectacular meal you had?
Spectacular meal?
Yeah, where you were just like, God, that was fucking
Gosh,
awesome.
This is amazing. This is Banff.
This is Banff.
Oh, I know. And it was actually a while ago, because I don't really go out to eat a lot.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
But when Jinya opened...
Oh, yeah.
When Keith was opening all the new Jinyas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I went to the soft opening in Sugarland.
Yeah.
That was so good.
Yeah, nice.
Dude. Like,
brought out the works, huh?
It really. Like,
yeah, yeah,
it was
yeah.
so
cool,
good.
Man.
Because I haven't had ramen a lot, but like I ordered like, something that looked good on the menu. So good.
Dude,
like,
ramen.
Next level.
Ramen
like,
is the bomb, dude. And Jinya ramen is fucking a really great ramen restaurant.
Yeah. 5 stars, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. And shout-outs to Keith, too.
It's what?
Shout-outs
yeah,
to Keith.
Exactly.
Man.
I'm going to have to get him
Keith's
on
the
podcast at some point.
Absolutely.
But also, at Flight Club, where I'm working, the food there is amazing.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Dude, you know, I will say, I tried to book the for Ash's birthday, and it took me to a place to reserve, and I don't know if it was just because... everything was booked up already, but it would only give me the option to reserve at this other place that I didn't...
That's,
yeah, so I don't know.
That doesn't sound right.
Yeah, I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe call up. Like,
okay.
Call and be like, hey, I want to book a thing for this.
See, I don't even know why I didn't think of that.
It's because, I mean, we live in a different time. Like,
yeah,
no
I know,
anything
right.
Anymore,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
like, it's
exactly.
all online.
I know, exactly.
And everything's been pushed away from calling. And like,
right.
Now it's like you call and it's like... It just sends you to their website. It's like, hey, check
right.
out our website.
Right,
blah,
exactly.
Blah.
Yeah.
That's
what I do when people call me. I'm like, dude, just go to my website, bro. Just anything you need to know, or text me. No.
But yeah, I hope you're able to come out because it really is a lot of fun. We just had our media launch on Thursday.
Oh, okay.
And it was crazy. Like,
they
were
you had
like
the
like,
news out there and all that stuff.
Well, social influencers and stuff. Oh, they invited,
okay.
Like, a bunch of just like different, you know, Houston influencers and
shows
everything.
Shows how old I am.
Yeah, right.
And media like, launch. You called the news?
You called the news? I think there was some guys there with, like, the big cameras and everything, but
oh,
I don't
cool.
know if it was, like, a station.
Sure,
or not.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
But the word is getting out, and that place is blowing up.
Awesome.
Last Saturday was, it was packed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's insane.
Dude, do you ever get nervous that, actually, how about this? In accordance with the podcast, what was the last customer there that got offended by the way you guys treat them?
Okay, so I'll say that, I'll answer that, and then I'll also answer what was the last time that made me nervous as
okay
well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So every once in a while I'll like throw out a quick heckle, you know, like, and they're soft heckles, they're nothing like terrible, you know, that's
yeah,
gonna
yeah,
like
yeah.
insult you, but some people just do not respond well to that
no.
at all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like
and they've been drinking.
Yeah.
And they have darts
the
in their
people
hands?
People who aren't drinking. that yeah. like are just, they take it to heart.
And, oh, wow.
And it's like, you're just like, oh, you missed that one, you know, or like, oh, just a little higher, you know. And
yeah.
It just makes them so mad, you know. it's just like, it's just a small heckle, you know.
Right,
like,
right.
Really, darts is mostly about luck.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Every dart video I've ever watched is like, they're saying, like, it's not about aiming, it's about believing that you're going to hit it.
No shit, really? Yeah, that's really the technique kinda, that these yeah. pros use and
you
stuff?
You gotta have, it's the, so you gotta just have the right stance, the right form, sure. You're only throwing with this part of your arm, you're not moving any part of your body, and then you're kind of, like, aiming in a way through, like kind of a gun sight, like, looking through.
Sure, yeah.
But then you're just kind of, like, being like, I'm gonna hit this.
Wow.
And then you go for it.
And that's it, wow. Yeah.
And then with the muscle memory, eventually you sure, just start doing it over
right,
and over.
Right, wow.
Yeah, who'd have thunk, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But, so, yeah, there's definitely those people who just, like, do not respond well to any form of, like, heckling or criticism or yeah. whatever the word is, you know?
Yeah.
But the last time I got nervous was at the media launch. The guy who owns Fight Club America, because it started in London, like, across the pond.
Okay.
He comes up, and he's in his Aki, and it's two other guys, and they're kind of blowing me off. Like, every once in a while, there's people who are just like, I don't need you here. You know, like, they're okay. like, we just want to play some darts. But it is my job to do these things.
Yeah,
and it's
right.
like, I don't come to your house and tell you to sit outside.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
And so it's like, I'm going to do my job. But they're kind of pushing me off, and since they were from the other locations, they were like, yeah, we already know how to play, right? And so I didn't explain the game when I still should have, right?
Okay.
And so... that was a lesson, and, like, I'm still always going to explain the game, even if you know, because...
Wait, were they testing you or some shit?
Maybe, right? Because I didn't explain the game, and then one of the guys didn't know how to play, and so the other guy starts explaining and doing my job, and I was just like, oh my gosh, this is so embarrassing, you know?
It's
like,
awkward, too, because
this is my job!
And also it's the guy that owns the
That owns
the shit,
Fly
right?
Club America.
And so he tells you, get out of here, but you know you're supposed to... It's like this weird, like...
And
what do
I was
I
just
do?
Like, and so I kind of, yeah, and I let Mallory go back and handle them after that.
Yeah, yeah.
And she killed it. She stayed at that Aki, like, the whole night. They, like, reserved her. And so I was just basically, like, I read everything else. But it was a really fun night.
Wow.
They were handing out, like, $200 plates of, like, lobster for free. They were just, like, giving them complimentary to, like, every table. Yeah.
Whoa.
Insane.
Y'all got lobster there?
Dude, yeah, they have lobster. They have oysters.
They have oysters?
Yeah, dude.
Oh, fuck me. You said the magic word, dude.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's really nice.
Okay, yeah.
Anyone listening, Fly Club Darts Houston, come out and see me.
Yeah.
I'd love to see you. Best job I ever had.
That's awesome, man.
Who was the last person you met that you felt, like, starstruck? Or, like, that really inspired you? If that moves to a second question.
Starstruck. Do you mean like an actual celebrity? Or, I mean, I guess it could be anything.
It could be anyone.
But just like that had that kind of like level of like power on you or whatever,
yeah.
that kind of thing. A good example that comes to mind actually is Andy Huggins.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I feel that every time I talk to Andy, too.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to get to have a convo with him outside of Rudyard's after an open mic one night. And that was actually through my wife, Ashley, who... Her uncle is... his name is Jim McCown. And he was a... one of the, like, local staples back in the 90s and everything with Andy... And even Bill Hicks before that, you know?
Yeah.
And so he was really, really good friends with Andy. And so Ash, like, we saw Andy up there. And either Ash recognized him or I had known somehow that he knew Jim. I don't remember. But either way, it was before, actually. I forgot, before that mic, because I came to do the mic. And Andy was already there, and then the person running it was there, and so I just walked up to them and I was like, hey, I'm here for the mic. Like, how do I sign up? And they kindly let me know that it's an email. You got to sign up on the email and then we'll choose you from there. I was like, oh, okay, well, I'll just stay and watch. But Andy told me that he knew Jim at that conversation. So Ash came up and I told Ash, like, this guy knows your uncle. And he's passed away. Jim has passed away. So we went down and talked to him and, you know, I got to just talk to him about, like, you know, what it means. Just, you know, get that fucking, like, down-home knowledge from, like, a real doer.
Transfer yourself into me.
Please. Yeah, right, dude. And just one of those, like, get to pick the brains of someone that, like, knows what the fuck they're talking about. Yeah. So that was really cool. That was a really cool experience for me. Especially, like, when at that time that was, you know, maybe a few months before the pandemic and I was, like, full on in. Like, I was starting to hit mics and everything regularly with Danny, the aforementioned Danny Guerrero. And so I was, like, really, like, just trying to get any kind of guidance I could from anyone. And then, like the head honcho of guidance in Houston was right there. And right I had this there. Opportunity to just chat with him for a bit. Provides, and it was fucking awesome. Yeah, yeah. The
funk provides.
Totally felt like that, man.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah. That comes to mind, yeah.
I love those moments when, like, you run into people that, like, you're like, oh, I want to pick your brain. You
right.
know? But, like, also at the same time, you, like, have that, like, starstruck of, like, oh, I don't know what to say now. Because, like, you're kind of fanboying a little
bit.
Yeah,
right.
And so it's like, I'm getting better at it, though.
That actually, to jump onto that, and this might have actually, no, this happened before. I can't remember if this happened before or after the convo with Andy, but it was at the last Trill Fest, Trill uh-huh. Comedy Fest, when Carl Tart and White Women were there.
I'm not familiar.
It was Carl Tart and then, I apologize, but three other guys I didn't know. But I knew Carl Tart from from Comedy Bang Bang.
Oh, legit. Okay.
He was always on Comedy Bang Bang. They headlined the Saturday night show, so they hung out for the after show party that they held, you know, and they even went up and did karaoke and everything. So I had a chance to, like, you know, meet Carl Tart.
That's so much fun.
And I was, like, totally fanboying, and I even said it. That this was, like, the last time I had an embarrassing fan experience, because I went up to him and I was like, dude, Carl, man, it's so great to meet you, dude. I listen to you on Comedy Bang Bang all the time. Big fan. And then I said one of his, like, catchphrases that he does that he does on Comedy Bang Bang all the time. And he was just kind of, like, he was totally nice. Totally fucking nice. But when I said the catchphrase thing, he was someone, like, right. Like, he was nice about it. He wasn't a jerk or anything. But, like, he just didn't respond to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In a way that, like, I thought, you know, like...
You thought he'd be like, oh, LOL.
Yeah, in your head, you're like, oh, we're going to have such a laugh about this. But he was just kind of like, all right, cool. You know, like, I say that on the show. Yeah. I get it. And then I was like, I, like, caught myself and I was like, dude, sorry, man. I'm kind of fanboying on you. And then he laughed and then he chuckled. He's like, nah, you're good, man. You're good. And that was that. So that was that was definitely, like, a starstruck moment to where I even, like, felt like a dumbass afterwards. You know what I mean? Like, just, like, because I didn't know what to say or whatever. But yeah, that was cool. What about you, though? That's actually a good question, if we have time for it.
When was the last time I, like, fanboyed over anyone?
Yeah.
I didn't really, like, fanboy. But the two podcasts ago when I had Jacob Calle on.
Oh, I know him.
Yeah, he took me down to Gallery Furniture. And we got Mattress Mac on the podcast.
Mattress Mac?
Yeah.
Oh, you got him on the podcast?
Yeah, he came on.
On this?
Yeah, on the next one, Inner and Outer Reality.
Okay. All right.
And,
man, I'm going to go listen
Jacob fanboyed.
On Mattress Mac?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But I was asking the questions I wanted. What do you think life is? You know, blah, 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 blah.
Jim McInvale actually sat there and answered those questions with you?
How
long did he go? I'll listen to it.
So, like, I wanted to keep going. Jacob kind of, like, cut him off and was like, he didn't cut him off, but he was like, well, thanks for being on.
Yeah.
And I was like, what are you doing? Yeah, I know. Like, I still have questions.
He didn't
want
to push his luck, right?
Right there. He didn't want to push his luck, but
well,
like.
Well, he's out there. It's so crazy because just on Jacob real quick, he's out there always posting about all these fucking, like, famous people that he's meeting. He was working on that comedy portraits book where he's doing pictures of, like, Ben Schwartz and shit.
Yeah.
And for him to fanboy about Mattress Mac that is pretty funny.
He totally used his customer service voice, and, like, we even make fun of that later.
Really?
Yeah, dude.
That's so funny, dude. Of all the people. dude, he's an H-Town legend.
But yeah, like, it seemed that he was ready to just kind of, like, sit down for a while and talk. But
that's amazing.
Again, I think Jacob was like, let's not push our luck. But, like, he was answering our questions, and his son was there as well, answering some questions.
Should we try to repeat that today?
Yeah, let's go down to the Gallery Furniture. He's there today, again. Apparently.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Well, Bryce, that's 30 minutes. You got any last things to say?
No, just I love you. Thanks for listening, and you can stream any of my music on Spotify or iTunes, whatever.
Anything.
Your preferred method of streaming at The Demons, DEAMINS. And also listen and subscribe to the Movie Gap podcast. Also streaming everywhere you get podcasts.
Venmo, PayPal, Cash App?
Oh, yeah. If you want to support... I mean, honestly, the best way to support me, if you should feel you want to, is just to go to my The Demons Bandcamp. Just go to Bandcamp and search The Demons, DEAMINS, and you can buy a song
or
buy the album for whatever you want.
And you pay what you want. Yep. Yeah.
And it'll go straight to my PayPal.
Awesome. Well, Bryce, thanks for being on.
Thank you, sir.
And
it was a pleasure.
Y'all for listening. See you next time.